Good morning. It's wonderful to see all of your smiling faces. And we have a lot of guests this morning. A lot of our members are gone. Even two of our elders are traveling. But we welcome all guests. We do have a meal afterwards. So please, all guests as well as all members, stay and literally eat us out of house and home today. We would appreciate it. We have been studying the human response that God has asked of those who have discovered the love of God in Jesus Christ. First, we looked at faith. We saw that biblical faith consisted of three parts, at least as was seen in the example of Abraham that Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 4. We saw that faith involved the intellect, the emotions, and the will of man. First, there was the assent to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He came to save the world through His blood. Secondly, we saw that faith consisted of trust. Therefore, surrender and commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord. And third, we saw that biblical faith consisted of obedience to Jesus Christ and to His will. From the biblical perspective, obedience and faith cannot be separated. Jesus calls us to obedience. Obedience calls our attentions to three things: confession that Jesus is Lord, repentance as a turning to God, and baptism in Jesus Christ, as Peter the Apostle puts it, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also had a look at the biblical meaning of repentance. We saw it was made up of godly grief, a reformation of life, and a change of will from our will to the will of God. And this morning I would like for us to look at the human response of baptism as we have repentance and faith. Baptism is prominent in the New Testament as a positive ordinance of the gospel. The immediate predecessor of our Christian baptism was John the Baptist and his preaching of a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. It was not a self-administered baptism, but it was one that was administered by John the Baptist. And we should note that it was done for the forgiveness of sins. As Mark chapter 1 verse 4 puts it, "And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Christian baptism differs from John's baptism in that it is associated with faith in Jesus Christ, and so administered in His name and in promising the Holy Spirit as well as forgiveness of sins. These are the words of the Apostle Peter, not me. Christian baptism is based on the baptism of Jesus and the command of our resurrected Lord. Several features connected with baptism are evidence in Jesus' baptism. The forgiveness of sins is implied in John's reluctance to baptize Jesus. Remember, he didn't want to baptize Jesus. He said, "You should be baptizing me." John realized he was a sinner and realized also that Jesus was not. Explicit in the text is that this was a baptism of sonship and of the gift of the Holy Spirit. At his baptism, Jesus, as it says of Jesus, the Spirit came down upon him, and a voice from heaven acknowledged him as Son. And we know that as at this point that Jesus was empowered and that he preached the gospel of repentance and the gospel for the call of people to Jesus, to God. So for Christians, at baptism, they are acknowledged as sons of God, children of God. Galatians 3:26 and 27, Paul Paul declares this. We also know that at baptism we receive the Spirit. And Paul, the apostle, also declares this in Galatians 4, verses 5 through 7. And we know that Christians are called to a life of service in the name of Jesus Christ. At his baptism, we know that Jesus launched his messianic ministry and started his path to the cross. Even as Jesus identified himself with humanity, he became God in flesh. At our baptism, we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, his ministry, and his cross, and we become sons of God. It was after the cross and resurrection that Jesus gave a command to his disciples, a command to administer baptism. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples. And on earth, excuse me, I cannot read. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. And his followers, particularly the apostles, performed baptism as a part of making disciples for Jesus Christ. Peter started it there in Pentecost. And Paul preached and taught baptism as well. Baptism is associated with many key ideas that are involved in conversion, some of which man does, but many more that God does. First, a confession of faith. Faith is confessed at the time one becomes a Christian, both with the lips and with the act of baptism. Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message, Peter's message, were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We're also told that baptism is a calling on the name of the Lord. In Acts 22:16, we read, and now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Do you know who was being commanded? The Apostle Paul was being commanded to wash away his sins. He was to call upon the name of the Lord. This reference is likely to that confession of faith that one makes at baptism. The association with faith in Jesus as the Christ was the distinguishing mark of a Christian baptism. In Acts 19, 5 through 6, we read, on hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. And in our verse in Hebrews that was read this morning, we see that confession is associated with the washing of water. Baptism is a pledge. It's a pledge of allegiance and an oath of loyalty to Jesus Christ. You know, we like to have our kids pledge allegiance to the flag in the schools. But we are Christians. And our allegiance is first and foremost to Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 3:21, Peter says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Secondly, baptism is an act of repentance. Peter replied, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, baptism is involved in the turning associated with repentance. Acts 3:19 offers us a parallel to Acts 2:38. In Acts 2:38, we see the commands, repent, be baptized, sins will be forgiven, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 3:19, we read, repent, turned to God, sins wiped out, and times of refreshing. Repent is the same. 2:38 says, be baptized. Acts 3:19 says, turn to God. In Acts 2:38, it says, sins will be forgiven. In Acts 3:19, it says, sins will be wiped out. In Acts 2:38, it says, gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 3:19, it says, times of refreshing. What more refreshing time than when the Spirit comes upon you? The identity of the first and third items here suggest an equivalence between the second and fourth items. Repentance is the decision to turn. Baptism is the start of that turn. Repentance is the inward turning. Baptism is the outward turning, which is followed by a new life, a walking in the opposite direction. Because we are called to repent, to turn away from sin and walk toward God. Baptism is the act that expresses the rejection of sin and this turning to God. If the human element up to this point is in the forefront, baptism is thought of as a confession of faith and an act of repentance. Baptism is the act that expresses the rejection of sin and this turning to God. But there's much more to baptism than man's portion. As a matter of fact, the things that God says happen at baptism are of greater importance even. Because it tells us what God does in baptism. Let's take a look at these things. First off, Peter points out that we have forgiveness of sins. Who forgives sins? Is it not God? The walking in God's way that follows on repentance and baptism is made possible because baptism is the appointed time when God pronounces forgiveness of sins. I can't do it, but God can. Faith takes away the love of sin. Repentance takes away the practice of sin. And baptism takes away the guilt of sin. The association of washing in water with purity comes from the thought of taking a bath, of cleaning yourselves. And is this not what the Jewish priests did? They washed themselves pure. They cleaned themselves. And this thought is brought to baptism, the washing away of sins. In Acts 2:38, the Greek construction expresses an object or a goal. For, unto, or in order to obtain forgiveness of sins. The grammar hill will permit nothing else. An example is given. This is the same grammar used in Acts 2:38. In Matthew 26:28, we read, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. No one would suggest that Jesus' blood was poured out because of the forgiveness of sins. It was poured out to bring about the forgiveness. This is the same grammatical construction. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. When we understand this, then all the verses that talk about the cleansing effect of baptism can be understood, and many problems of understanding will be done away with. Just an example of some passages where people seem to have trouble. You can write these down. We won't look at each individual one, but Acts 22:16. Romans 10:13. 1 Peter 3:21. Ephesians 5:26. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And what we read today, Hebrews 10:19 through 23. And many more passages could be better understood if we understand baptism is the point of the forgiveness of sin. According to these passages, baptism is a washing, a cleansing, a purifying. It is not the water, but God that does the cleansing. It is merely at baptism that God has decreed that this will be done. Secondly, we see that at the point of baptism, God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is made to the penitent believer who is baptized. The gift is not a gift given by the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit Himself. According to Acts 2:38, baptism precedes the bestowal of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul teaches the same thing. In Galatians 4:6, Paul says, "Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, "And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." This verse here links all of what I said into one passage. The gift of the Spirit comes with the washing that God has promised. Thirdly, another thing that God has promised to do at our baptism. Baptism is a new birth. It is one way of describing what God does at our baptism. He forgives sin, He gives the Holy Spirit, and He imparts a new life to the believer. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." We see the necessity of being born again is to see the kingdom of God. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." The new birth is accomplished by God, not by me. 1 Peter 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Or Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." And it's amazing. We just noticed that all three apostles agree upon this. John, Peter, and Paul. Reference to the water precedes the Spirit in both John 3:5 and in Titus 3:5. It seems likely that these verses speak not of something the Spirit does before baptism, but what the Spirit does in baptism. It's the Spirit that imparts spiritual life. Fourthly, John expressed the new birth. Paul expresses death and resurrection in Romans chapter 6. I don't have time to talk about Romans chapter 6. This afternoon, read it. Romans chapter 6 is wonderful. Because as we see, baptism is a link between atonement and Christian living. Paul's purpose in mentioning baptism in chapter 6 is to show the inconsistency of a life of sin in one who understands the meaning of baptism. Paul does not say it is impossible for a baptized believer not to sin, but that it is inconsistent that one do so or continue to do so. The practice of sin is to deny the reality of conversion. As a death to sin and resurrection to a new life, baptism says something very important about the life to be lived after baptism. You die, you're buried, you are raised a new creature, and as a new creature with a new spirit, a new heart, what do? you live differently. And so Paul says, can we continue to sin after we've been baptized? No. We should want to be righteous in all of our doings. Since baptism means sin is crucified and buried and the new life begins, this indicates we should live righteously and not sinfully. Fifthly, God places us in His church at the point of baptism. Acts 2:41, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They were considered members of the church, members of God's people, at the point of their baptism on. Paul tells us the same thing in 1 Corinthians 12:13. He expresses it a little differently, but just the same meaning. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Have you noticed what he said? Baptism by one Spirit. Who does the real baptizing? It's the Spirit of God. And he baptizes us into the one body. This again is God's doing. To incorporate a person into the body of Christ is his work. You just can't join the church. God adds you to his church when your faith turns to obedience and to repentance. To be dipped in the baptismal water is to be dipped into the Spirit. The Spirit is the agent that affects the change at baptism. The New Testament places no significance on the person who performs the baptism. You know, I don't even remember the name of the man that baptized me. I'm kind of ashamed. I remember where it happened, at Rivergate Church of Christ, up there somewhere by Nashville. I was a teenager, Charlie. I was 16 years old. And I remember that day. I can even remember the majority of his sermon. And I cannot even see that man's face. I can't remember his name. But the important thing is not who baptized me, but what took place at my baptism. What the Holy Spirit and what God has done to me as a Christian. So the New Testament places no significance on the person who performs baptism. You know, even Paul said, I didn't baptize any of you. Well, maybe this family, maybe a few others. Paul couldn't even remember everybody he baptized, because he realized what he was doing wasn't as important as what God was doing to that person. Baptism provides an objective assurance of having received God's promised salvation in Jesus Christ. And this happens because of our faith and our divine and the divine action of God. Now, there is a danger here. People might be tempted to trust baptism for salvation instead of trusting the God who brought about salvation at the time and point of baptism through Jesus Christ. That's the danger. We need to realize and understand always it's what God does in our lives that's important. God loves us. God wants us to be saved, and it is by our faith that we are saved through grace in Jesus Christ. But to trust in God includes responding to Him in His appointed way. Do you want to be a part of God's family? Do you want the salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ? Do you want to have your sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus upon the cross? Then come this morning as we stand and sing our invitation song.